your Bibles to our scripture passage taken from the Gospel according to John. John chapter 18, we're going to begin reading at verse 28. This now is an episode that happened just after Jesus was confronted with the guards in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they bound him up and took him from there to Caiaphas. And now this is the story after they had had their trial, quote-unquote, with Caiaphas. Beginning at verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of myself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then they cried all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So far the reading of God's word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews had all open doors. Everything was working out just fine for them. They found Judas, who would betray Jesus. They found Jesus now weak in Gethsemane. They made him a prisoner. They brought him before Caiaphas. And they were even able to find two witnesses who could actually agree to the same accusation against him. All open doors. And now they are going to Pontius Pilate. And again, an open door. Because the Jews knew that under the Roman law, they were not allowed to condemn anyone to death. Not even Jesus. That could only be done by Rome. Not that these Jews were such law-abiding citizens. Because when they wanted to stone Stephen to death, they never went to Pontius Pilate or any representative of the Roman government. But Pilate, you see, came in very handy at this particular moment because the Jews were still somewhat afraid of the crowds because the crowds loved Jesus. And if they could now blame someone else, well, that would be so much the better. And so, here's another open door for them. They went to Pontius Pilate. Now, not that this man was all that interested in their affairs. Undoubtedly, Pilate, the representative of Rome, had all kinds of difficulties with the Jews, especially when it came to these difficult religious issues. It always seems that it was going to be a no-win situation when Pontius Pilate had to get involved with the religion of the Jews. Now, why are the Jews at this particular moment so interested in Pontius Pilate? Do they need a second opinion? Do they really respect this man because his judgment is so valuable? No. Now, when I want to draw your attention to the particular fact, I want to come back to that point a little bit later. Did it ever strike you that these priests and these elders and these Jewish representatives of organized religion never even touch the steps of Pontius Pilate's home? Oh, they needed him, but they didn't want to get too close to him. Why not? Well, I believe that that is an open door for us to understand today. Why didn't they want to get close to Pontius Pilate? Because they were going to celebrate the Passover in just a few days. And in order to celebrate that Passover, they had to be clean, because the Passover was a feast for Jews only. Passover had nothing to do with Rome. They could not defile themselves by placing foot on the property of the Roman government. They did not even dare come close to Pontius Pilate because, according to them, the Passover was a private party. And I'll come back to that a little bit later, because I think that's key to understanding our passage. They were of the belief that the Passover, that great celebration in the streets and in the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, it was all private. It had nothing to do with the world. It had nothing to do with Rome. In fact, touching any of that would defile them. And so we read they come to Pontius Pilate and they kept their distance. And Pilate said to them, "Now, what's the real charge here? What, according to you, has this man done?" And understanding that, well, okay, it's something religious, quote unquote, "You guys take care of it. I don't want to get involved." You know, they never really did answer that question. They didn't want to be caught in that kind of a bind. They didn't want to make the choice between calling this a civil or a religious matter. They said to Pilate, "Well, if he weren't a criminal, we wouldn't hand him over to you." Neat way to get around that question, huh? "The very fact that we're here, Pilate, a few days before Passover, we, priests, scribes, representatives of organized religion, these are the busiest days of the year for us. Now, if this man were not a criminal, we certainly wouldn't have brought him here." "Look," says Pilate, "you take care of him yourself. We can't do that," they said, "because we're not allowed to execute anyone." And John, the gospel writer, immediately adds, not because they had so much respect for Rome, not because they needed a second opinion from Pontius Pilate, not because the Jews at this particular moment didn't dare to do anything illegal. "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, in order that the words of Jesus," says John, "in order that the words of Jesus might be fulfilled," indicating the kind of death he would die. You see, beloved, that Passover could not be a private party. The very fact that these Jews did not dare to come close to Pontius Pilate because soon they would be celebrating that Passover, that proves that they didn't have a clue. They didn't really understand the significance of Passover. That blood that was put on the doorposts way back in Egypt when they were going to be delivered, was it not a prophecy? Did it not only make sense Because someday the blood of the Redeemer had to flow from the hill of Calvary. The Redeemer, not just of the Jews, but the Redeemer of the whole world. That deliverance from Egypt, brothers and sisters, does that not only make sense because Jesus was to be delivered to be upraised so that all could be drawn to Him? What was that Passover? A private party? A little sectarian feast? Was it not a prophecy that cried out for fulfillment? And therefore, when the Jews said, well, it's not lawful for us to execute anyone, the sacred writer then adds that this happened not just because these are such law-abiding people, but this happened to indicate the kind of death that Jesus was going to die. Because Jesus was not going to die a nondescript death in some little way off corner of the world. Jesus was not going to be lynched by a mob. Jesus was going to be lifted up. As that snake was lifted up in the wilderness for the salvation of God's people in the old dispensation, so Jesus had to be lifted up so that He could be at the crossroads of the world, so that He could say, now come to Me. You'll see Me. I am lifted up. Come to Me. All of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So that the words of God might be fulfilled, I love this world so much that I gave My one and only Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Christ reminded Nicodemus of that. Christ reminded Nicodemus of that story about the brass serpent in the wilderness. And Christ said to Nicodemus, as that brass serpent in the wilderness had to be raised up, so the Son of Man has to be raised up. When you look to that brass serpent, people were healed. When you look at Christ raised, you will be healed. Christ could not be a sectarian Savior. That covenant feast of the Passover could not be reduced to just a private party for just a little group of people called the Jews. And now you see, the Jews refused to believe that. That Passover? No, that's just us. That's only for us. It's amazing how you see that even today. My wife took a few weeks' course with a rabbi here in town. And he said flat out to these people that were trying to learn about a little more about the Jewish religion, he said, we do not evangelize at all, period. People want to come to us, well, all right, we'll try to help them. But we don't go out. Same thing for these Jews. Well, it's just for us. This goodness of God is just for us. That Passover is just ours. We would not even dare to touch the steps of the Praetorium, because to do so, to touch a Gentile's residence, well, they would have defiled themselves during the holy week of Passover. You see, for them it was all reduced. It was all so small, it was only for them. But you see, the ends of the world had to see Jesus. And His death was to shake the very foundations, even of Rome. It is not lawful for any one of us to put Him to death. No, Pilate had to give the approval. Pilate had to make the decision. Rome had to do it. In order that we might say, with those words of Scripture, He came to His own. He came home. And His own received Him not. He came to His world, the one He created. And the world rejected Him. You know, Pilate did not think that Jesus had universal significance either. In fact, he said to Jesus, are You a king? No, no. Look at it carefully. He said something else. He said, are You then the King of the Jews? If you are a king, your kingship has nothing to do with that power of Rome. What you did on that donkey last week, and you came into town and all the people were waving palm branches and celebrating Hosanna, that was all just a sectarian thing. That was all just a private thing, a religious thing. Are you then the king of the Jews? You are no competition to Rome. You must be just a sectarian king, right? Just your kingship's limited. And you play that little game with those Jews. You know, it seems, beloved, that Jesus himself even reduced his kingship when he replied to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." The Jews saw that Passover was just simply their own, their little religious private party. Pilate saw that Jesus was only a king of the Jews. And Jesus, in his reply, seems to say, "Well, I guess you've got a point. My kingship is very limited. My kingship has nothing to do with this world." And you know, there are many people today who understand these words of Jesus precisely that way. That text is often quoted to convince the church that it should have nothing to do with a secular concern when it comes to bringing the gospel. Because they say, "Well, no, the kingdom of Jesus has nothing to do with politics or labor or education." I was talking to a man at the shooting range yesterday, and he was talking about the current state of affairs of politics in America. And he was going through the candidates, which one he just couldn't stand and which ones he's absolutely abhorred. And he said, "You know, the thing about Ted Cruz is he looks so much like a Baptist pastor to me, just talking to me. I just can't stand that. That religion and politics do not mix." I said, "Oh, come on. Yes, they do mix. Of course they mix. Religion is man's response to God. And if you're going to do any responding to God, I don't care whether that's in football or whether that's in politics or whether that's in education, it's all going to matter how you respond to God. Either you are going to respond to Him and say, 'Yes, I'll do what you want,' or you're not." Of course, those are intertwined. Now, I didn't have a long time because it was in between shots. But, you know, the point was, you know, people have this idea, "Well, you know, it has nothing to do with, no, politics, religion, you know, that kingship of Jesus, that's only religious. That's just for those people who do that thing in church with among consenting adults on Sunday. Strictly limited. Because, hey, Jesus said, 'My kingdom is not of this world.'" Listen, beloved. Those who seem to limit the kingship of Jesus to a private affair, to something between Jesus and my soul, at the most, Jesus and His church, they go to this text, and in light of this reduction, they ask themselves, "Well, does Jesus agree then with the Jews in making that Passover a limited sectarian feast? And does he agree then with Pontius Pilate when he limits the kingship of Jesus to just something over the Jews?" In his reply to Pilate, is Jesus teaching us that we must understand his kingdom to be very limited, very narrow? No, beloved, no. Nothing could be farther from the truth. But when Pilate limited the kingdom of Jesus to a kingdom which only had meaning for the Jewish nation, it was Jesus himself who said, "I do not rule by the grace of the Jews. I do not rule because only one particular world system recognizes me as king. I rule because my kingdom is a heavenly kingdom, and it comes with heavenly claims, and it comes with heavenly power. My kingship is not of this world. It comes from heaven. It has divine power and divine dimensions. Because for this reason," says Jesus, "for this reason I came into the world to bear witness of the truth." And what is that truth? It's kind of comical. Pilate says, "What is truth?" He's standing right in front of it. It didn't see it. What is that truth? Well, that truth is this, that God created the universe, and that by our fall into sin, we not only destroyed our relationship with God, we destroyed that beautiful, harmonious creation of God. Man ruined the entire world. Thorns and thistles grew up because we fell into sin. Work became a struggle because we fell into sin. And the truth is this, that Jesus Christ came not only to reconcile us as individuals back to the Father, but Jesus came into the world to restore this beautiful creation, to redeem it, to make it beautiful again. And that could only take place by way of the cross. Jesus had to be lifted up in order that everyone may celebrate that great covenant feast. In order that all things might be reconciled now back to the Father. All things on heaven, on earth. In order that we may look forward to the coming of Jesus. And when He comes again on the clouds of heaven, there will be a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. Because His kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is heavenly. It comes with divine power. And it will restore everything to its original beauty. And we will see that, beloved. We will see that soon. We will experience that full impact of the salvation of Jesus. Not just for what He did for me, but what He did for this world. And made it like it was the beginning. We will see Him come on the clouds of heaven. And all things will be made new. And that is why the Jews were so wrong when they said, well, that Passover of the Old Testament, that's just for us. That's our little party. In fact, we don't even dare come near to a Gentile's home because then we would be defiled and we couldn't be at the party. And that is also why Pilate was so dead wrong when he said to Jesus, are you then a king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, the Son of Man has to be lifted up so that all the ends of the earth may look to Him and be saved. For His work is not to be limited to a certain little small group in Israel. His work is to be performed all over the world, not some little quiet corner. Christ must be lifted up. So that red and yellow, black and white may all come to a saving knowledge. And that is why we are dead wrong if we think that faith in Christ is just for us. These empty chairs, they ought to force us to recognize that more must come in. More need to share the significance of knowing Christ and living for Him. Out of love for God and love for our neighbor, we have to speak to them about this God who loved this world so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes on Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Everyone who comes to the cross of Calvary will be saved. Till one day soon, the entire creation of God, which now groans and moans under the load of sin, may one day completely be restored to its original beauty, to its original harmony, when Jesus Christ comes again upon the clouds of heaven and makes all things new. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Oh, come quickly. Amen. Heavenly Father, haste the day when our faith will be made sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet sound, and the Lord descend to make all things new, to restore it to the harmony that once was and once restored will never be violated again. We ask for this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.